Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletower from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Tampa, Florida is Beth Sokoski. Beth is the Senior Product Manager at WealthCare Health Plans. Beth, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
So we're going to talk about an interesting concept that you raised in an article in the SCCE magazine, Compliance and Ethics Professional. You raised the topic of self-disclosure, not just in terms of the legal consequences, which is usually discussed, but you believe cultural consideration should be considered when deciding to do a disclosure or not. Can you explain what you mean by cultural considerations?
Absolutely. So in a lot of organizations, you know, we really have to think about the culture that we want. You know, a lot of us say, whether it's in compliance training or just our overall training, that we desire, you know, open, transparent communication, you know, that tone from the top sort of idealistic thing that a lot of times gets used. But really, you know, if you want a certain behavior, you really have to model it. And when I think about cultural considerations in regards to self-disclosure, you know, that's really a great opportunity for an organization if they're looking for a solid ability to sort of prove that they're not just talking the talk, but walking the walk.
Yeah, well, it certainly does sound like a great, I mean, employees being able to see that when an issue comes up, the organization owns up to it, not just internally, but externally as well. And one of the things I think that goes along with that is something interesting that you pointed out is that there can be benefits in disclosing to regulators more for issues down the line. How are you seeing that work?
So, and most of my background is in health plan compliance, but I worked in a hospital at one point. And one of the things that over and over again, we heard from regulators, whether it's on the phone or, you know, they're there in person, is they're always saying to us, we know you have an issue, and it's not that your issue is even unique. Everyone has, you know, these five same issues. It's the nature of the beast, or everyone has this issue. It's part of the cost of doing business. So when we're having, you know, if you have regular meetings with your regulators, and you're every week or every month telling them that there's nothing to disclose, they already know from a regulatory perspective, not to use the word over and over again, but they already know that there's stuff going on every single day. And I'm not saying, you know, tell them every little, you know, bump in the road, but a lot of times there's a lot of value in really fostering that relationship, talking about, you know, we have this issue. It might not really be an issue, but we wanted to make you aware of it. We'll give you more information, or this came up. It's already been resolved. It can go a long way, especially depending on your regulatory body that you're working with and the kind of relationship that you want to foster.
Yeah, it certainly does. I think, you know, it's in a reverse way, sort of adds credibility by admitting, you know, you're wrong regularly, then. Like you said, just pretending, you know, there's nothing wrong, and then suddenly a big whopper that you have to disclose.
Absolutely.
Does get to be problematic. So what about the impact internally with the organization? How can a self-disclosure, you know, on a significant issue help the culture of the organization?
Well, when I think about impact, I think about how accessible information is if you know how to look for it. You know, there some regulatory bodies are incredibly quick with posting things online for the whole industry to see. And I hope no one has ever been in this situation, but I know probably most of us have been, where you go online and maybe you're just, you know, Googling your own company and you find something and you say, how didn't I know about this? Why wasn't I told? Or how does this make me feel about working for these people? Or even worse, that it just recently arrived and line staff have no idea that something has happened, and they may be recognizing that they're continuing to make the same error, but they've never been told that, you know, something came from a regulatory entity, either as a result of a monitoring activity, an auditing activity, or a self-disclosure. I think, you know, when you think about those things, you're not really protecting or retaining your staff. You're not telling them that they're in an environment where they understand what all the rules are, so to speak. I think a lot of organizations really have to think about what would this situation that I'm self-disclosing, you know, if this was something that was on the website and someone on the staff saw it, would they understand the severity level of it or the criticality? You know, sometimes, you know, we all get dinged for things that everybody does. And, you know, is that really important as far as like self-disclosure and culture? Probably not. But if it's something a little bigger, especially in the healthcare realm, because we all know sometimes things get twisted, and, you know, it could be a news story. It could be on Glassdoor or a legal site about something out there about our organization, and that can have really detrimental things, even if it turns out that the item did not have the severity.
Yeah, and your reference to Glassdoor does point out an issue that often gets overlooked, is that job candidates at this point go looking online at resources to see what it's like to work in an organization. And so one of the negative consequences of a bad culture and bad actions is that it does definitely, you know, have an impact on recruiting. You know, one of the things that I think can be helpful for organizations, obviously, and we all know this, is you can't just make the disclosure. You actually have to do something to correct the bad action. How can you ensure that the corrective actions you take help the organization for the long term, not just solve the immediate problem?
So when you think about corrective actions, really at the end of the day, you really have to do a solid root cause analysis. You have to have a great idea, or you have to know what actual caused the issue that caused the disclosure. So how are you going to fix it? How are you going to have a monitoring and auditing plan? If you're working through this even before the disclosure, you might not know all of the things that you need to know for the regulator, but you have to start somewhere. You just can't wait for the regulator to respond back to you and say, yep, you're right, that's broken. Now, how are you going to fix it? Because generally that makes them a little more irritated with you than with the disclosure itself. And then you have to really think about what's going to be your communication plan across your organization about these things. If you are using this as part of an example about your culture, you are going to need to know, what are we telling the staff? How are these changes going to impact them? If a root cause means we have to get all new software for something, how will that be implemented? What are the timeframes? And I think that really can have a lot of changes for an organization, but really you have to do that root cause analysis in order to make any actions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, not only does it do the corrective action, but it also shows people that as an organization, you're really willing to dive in and find out what's going on here. And I would imagine it ends up exposing a lot of other issues as you go through it, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You get some of that scope creep on your initial issue.
Right. So which groups outside of compliance can help both in determining when it's time to make a disclosure and how to use this as an opportunity? Obviously, legal gets involved, but who else?
Absolutely. So when I think about this, I think about having those subject matter experts in those specialty fields. So if you're in healthcare, if it's a pharmacy-related issue, who in your pharmacy are you going to talk to that can help walk you through something and let you know that, hey, this is something that impacts everybody. It's pretty common. We just have to fix it. Or is it something that needs a different kind of messaging and they need to be the one to actually explain it? A lot of organizations have really great communications departments. These folks went to school for this. They go to conferences. They have all this continued learning. They know how to soften things or perhaps to write them in a way to make them an opportunity to learn something. So I never think of things like disclosures or failures as just that. They're always an opportunity to learn. It might not necessarily be you learning, because sometimes in compliance fields, we're sort of the ones going like, hey, we would like to talk about this. But it's a great opportunity to expand that learning. And it also helps, you know, really prove the effectiveness of your compliance department. It grows accountability. It really sets expectations. And then it's also really important to think about those folks that are writing policies and program descriptions and things like that. What you don't want to do is spend all of your time fixing an issue and then you've never gone back and adjusted your policies. So then the next time the regulator is on site, they say your policy still says you do it this way, but clearly you're doing it that way. What else aren't you doing correctly? So it's really great to involve those people from the get-go, because a lot of times they have more information and insight than what you have as a compliance professional, maybe just making a disclosure to the regulator.
Good argument for humility, not only in making the disclosure that you are wrong, but also understanding how you're going to move forward in the most effective way. Well, Beth, thank you so much for sharing this insight with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.